Thank you for connecting to the media product of Pastor Brian Gallardo. We pray as it goes out into the nations that it empowers your faith, stirs your spirit, and pushes you towards your God-given destiny. For more information about Pastor Brian Gallardo, please log on to www.briangallardo.com.
John 15, 18 and 20 says this, if the world hates you, this is such an encouraging message, by the way. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it first hated me. If they persecuted me, guess what, church? They're going to persecute you too. Boy, that's encouraging. How many feel encouraged? Boy. Amen. Elder Irene, let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your presence here. I thank you, Father, that the word will go forth in power and authority. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would brood over each and every person here, that they would be able to receive the word in truth, Lord, and in their heart, Father God, not only in their mind, Father. I thank you, Father, that when the truth goes forth, Lord, that the people are set free, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we just give you all the glory and honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Come on, put your hands together, love on Jesus for just a second. Get these, you guys, for real. All right, here's what we're going to do. Around our church, we are an audience participatory church, so I want you to run to at least two or three people that you don't know. Don't be running to your auntie in there. Run to people you don't know. Shake their hand and look at them. Say, you a little different. Don't say extra. Just say you a little different. Don't tell them they're extra. They'll be like, man, now you a little extra. Oh. Daylin and Eli, my tablet just let me know I have an appointment with you after church. Hey, this is Pastor Parsley. He's sending me a message. Let's see what he said here. Sorry. He says, I love you. 25 years ago, Dr. Earl Summerall gave me a sword, and so I give it to you too. He is a pretty awesome mentor. Grab your seat real quick. Come on. I want to talk to you this morning about having a different perspective. Look at your neighbor and say, your perspective should be a little different as a believer. So like we follow Jesus around here, so our perspective in life should be a little different. So everyone in this room, if you live for Jesus and you take a stand for what's right, I got to encourage you today, you are going to be persecuted. So today's message is the most encouraging message that we don't want to talk about and most of the time we don't want to hear. But if you serve Jesus, persecution is going to come. Look at your neighbor and say, uh-oh, he did not say that. So there are two types of cycles that can be found in the church. There's two types of lifestyles that can be found in the church. There's the comfortable cycle and there's the radical cycle. A lot of church-going believers that come to church are living in a comfortable realm. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'll explain it to you. They're in a comfortable position because they like to avoid opposition. So their faith is extremely weak and their life is empty. Honey, if you're going to serve radically for Jesus and live for God with all of your heart, guess what you're going to encounter? You're going to encounter opposition. You're going to encounter persecution. People will stand against you if you stand up for what's right. If you make a stance for biblical moral truth, get ready for all hell to come against you. Come on, somebody. Opinions of church people will come against you. Come on. Jezebel will scream in your ear. Come on, somebody. But God doesn't want you to live in comfortable Christianity with smooth knees. God is calling you and I to live in a radical place where our faith is encouraged, where our spirit is growing, and where we walk alongside with Jesus. Slap your neighbor, high five, and say different. Different. You are ready. Listen, God ain't calling us to comfortable Christianity. The devil is a lie. He's calling us to live a life full. He's calling us to live a life full. He's calling us to be full of life, full of power, full of passion, full of authority. The devil is a liar. Look at your neighbor, say, get radical. Radical, radical, radical. Jesus, listen. Jesus never promised you that you would live a life of lavish comfort once you come into the kingdom. He never told us that we was going to live comfortably economically. He never told us that you're not going to die while on this planet. He never told us that your car would work forever. He never told you that you wouldn't have problems, tribulation, trial, pain, and persecution. He never told us that we wouldn't be fired from our job for standing up for what's right. But thanks be to God, he doesn't to leave us in the pain. He gives us comfort in the midst of the chaos. You ain't, listen, he gives us comfort in the midst of the chaos. Oh, help me, Jesus. I feel like preaching today. You have to forgive me. I had a service off. I'm trying to make up. You know, we had Wednesday night. We didn't have church because we was getting ready to stuff our faces. And so this is just a lot of pent-up energy waiting to get here to preach to you. I feel like there's a firecracker going off in my spirit. I thought I got it all out first service, and then I thought I got it all out second service, but I'm here to tell you it's still in me. It's called the Holy Ghost. In the words of Jeremiah, it's like fire. Shut up, shut up, shut up in my... Oh, yeah. Okay, so look at this. Look at this. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. Matthew 5 and verse 8 says this. Blessed are the pure in heart. Look at your neighbor. Say, God wants your heart pure. Look at the person behind you that didn't say nothing and say, God wants your heart pure. Now you may be thinking what the scripture is referring to is, well, Pastor, I'm pure in my relationships with people, so I'm just honest. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about how you live for Jesus on this earth. Is your heart really in it? Are you here today because you really love God? Or are you here today to relieve your religious conscience that you're okay? Blessed are the pure in heart. What happens to the pure in heart? They shall see God. Here is what I've learned about serving Jesus. When you're pure of heart, you want to please God. And when you want to please God, get ready to tick some people off. Can I say tick off in church? If I can't, you should have been here a couple weeks ago. Praise the Lord. You're either a son. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10 says this. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Now righteousness, I grew up in an era where you couldn't touch a deck of cards because that was the devil's playbook. You could play solitaire on the computer, but you can't touch the deck of cards because you're not actually touching the devil's playbook. Silly. I grew up in an era where women had to wear their clothes to where no elbows were revealed or no knees were revealed. Honey, if you've got a lust problem for crusty elbows and knees, you need lots and lots of prayer. You ain't saying nothing. Silly. Righteousness is not what you do in your daily walk. That's called holiness. Righteousness in the Greek means God's way of doing things. Blessed are those who are persecuted for doing the way that God would do it in the earth. For they shall see kingdom rule in their life. Some of you can't tap into kingdom power in your daily life because you won't do things the way God wants you to do them. You don't treat your wife like Christ treats the church, so why should kingdom power work in your life? You run your mouth about your brother and sister, so why should kingdom power work in your life? I love you. Look at your neighbor and say, he loves us. And we love him more. Blessed are those who are persecuted for doing things the way God does them. For theirs is the kingdom. I'm all through my introduction for you that are taking notes. It's very miraculous for me because I'm an intro guy. Point number one, here we go. Persecution will become inevitable if you serve Jesus. It's inevitable. John chapter 15 in verse 20 says, if they persecuted me, guys, they're gonna persecute you also. If you're not being persecuted, help me, Jesus. If you're not being persecuted, you're doing something wrong. No, let me help you. Look at somebody, he's about to help you. I'm not talking about you're out of order and you got adjusted and corrected. Hello? Oh, they just persecute me. No, you're out of order. Huh? They don't like me. No, you're out of order, man. They got nothing to do with no persecution. That has to do with your you're out of order. You don't like church government. You're out of order. Read your Bible. Paul said, listen, Paul said to rebuke people by name harshly and openly. We don't do that around here. Maybe we should start and be more biblical. That's what Paul said. Paul said to do that, to call them by name so others would fear. Hey, you're out of order. Oh, the pastor's mean. That's not persecution. Here's what persecution is. You go to the Christmas dinner and you tell them, no, I'm good, I don't drink no wine. Oh, what, you think you're more holy than me? Persecution. Persecution. Huh? Why you ain't saying nothing? Look at him and say, wait, what did he just say about wine drinking? Because I just drank some Thursday. I mean, what did you say? Persecution is inevitable if you make a stand for something. If you don't make a stand for anything, you won't be persecuted for righteousness. If you're not being persecuted for righteousness, something is wrong. I want to be blessed, don't you? Look at your neighbor and say, you want to be blessed? Then there should be some persecution in your life. If Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you, and we're not being persecuted, then Jesus is a liar. Boy, it's quiet in this library today. In other words, if you live like the world, they won't persecute you. If you talk like the world, they won't persecute you. If you drink like the world, they won't persecute you. If you have sex according to the world's standards, they won't persecute you. But let a man of God say, I believe sex is between a man and a woman, and I'm going to stay celibate until I get married because that's God's word. Buddy, you better get ready for some persecution. If you say, no, I will not drink strong drink. If my belly hurts, give me a couple times. Look out for some persecution. You're going to be hated if you stand for what's right. You're going to be criticized if you make a stand for Jesus. Come on. You'll be misunderstood. You'll be ridiculed. You'll be persecuted. If you, people will mock you, make fun of you, degrade you, pick what you do apart to try to find a flaw to persecute you. This week on social media, our church, our precious people, and I and you were completely slammed on social media. I'm a liar. I'm a cult leader. I'm a hypocrite, and I'm just taking people's money. Really? That's why I haven't had a raise in almost 4 years. Really? Just taking people's money. I'm going to get a raise this year. Let me just tell you right now. It's on the list, Rachel. It's on the board meeting list. We're going to talk about that. Hello. I wish some of y'all stopped robbing God and give what you're supposed to give. I'm not the thief. You the thief because you ain't giving what God's supposed to have. The 10% and above. Why y'all looking at me like I'm funny? I'm looking at you like you funny because you're robbing God. So you make a stand like that and a comment like that, get ready for the persecution. I can't believe he said that. I've been persecuted in this church. Getting mean mugged while I'm preaching. I can't believe he's saying that. I don't know why people can't smile at me when I'm preaching. Like, really, I'm not being that mean. I mean, I get more of this. Do you want a man of God who gives you what God says, or do you want a man of God who's a people pleaser? Hello, somebody. Persecution is inevitable. Say, Pastor, what does this have to do with me? Because we live in the United States of America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Historians have done some research about martyrdom, people who have been killed for their stance for Jesus. When they become a martyr, they're murdered because they believe in God and they won't come up off of it. In the last decade, from 2010 to 2020, the year of vision. I guarantee preachers are going to. Okay, so in that decade, I promise you, just watch, it's going to happen. In that decade, now watch God tell me that will be the year of vision. You shouldn't say stuff like that because God will, you know. So in this decade of time, they're saying history is telling us that there have been more Christians martyred than any other time in the history of the world that we know of. So how do you know that, Pastor? Every single day in the world, this is crazy, every month, I misquoted that first service. Every single month in this world, 322 Christians' lives are taken from them. Every single month in the world somewhere, a Christian is murdered because they've taken a stand. That's pretty crazy. As we get our cheeseburgers, root the cheese on, somebody's dying today for Jesus. Come on, somebody, that's like 10 people a day are being martyred because they love God. They don't have the luxury to come and sit in a sanctuary like this and lift their hands freely and worship a God. They're being martyred for the cause of Christ. Persecuted. Persecution is inevitable. Peter is writing this message here to encourage the church about persecution, because it's during the time of a Roman wicked emperor by the name of Nero. And he tells the church, he says, guys, consider it joy when you face these fiery trials. Now in America, we have a fiery trial if we stub our foot. If we have a little tiff with our spouse, we're just in a fiery trial. We need to recognize what it is and bind the devil. No, you need to bind yourself. The devil didn't make you talk like that to your wife. You made yourself talk like that to your wife. You can bind the devil all you want to. You need to learn to bind your own lips. This Roman emperor by the name of Nero was burning Christians alive, tying them to trees, dipping them in wax, tying them to trees, lighting them on fire as he would sip his wine for entertainment. So when Peter said, consider it joy, my brothers, when you face fiery trials, he was literally talking about real fire on their bodies, burning them to death. Well, Pastor, I doubt, you know, that we're going to be burnt to death in this world that we live in. That might be true. That may be the truth. You may not be beheaded when you come out of this church and arrested by a regime of militant soldiers for standing up for God. That may be true. But you could lose your job. Come on, talk to me in here. You could lose a spouse. You could lose family and friends because you took a stand for Jesus. Come on. American church, you could lose relationships and loved ones and people you thought were friends because you stood for what was right when the other person wanted to stand for immorality. Persecution is inevitable. Number two, well, I'm coming right along here. Number two, your perspective is the game changer. How many of you, you've been persecuted? I've been persecuted. I just told you I was persecuted publicly online on Thursday, and then I had to practice what I preach and not say nothing. And bless that person and love on them, because the Bible said, bless those that persecute you and use you despitefully. God bless them, increase them, give them more money they've ever had in their life. So persecution is inevitable. Number two, persecution or perception is, perspective is a game changer. If you're being persecuted in this season right now, change your perspective. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through as if it's strange. Why? Because they already knew if Jesus said, you're going to be persecuted if I'm being persecuted. Why is it strange you're being persecuted? It's not. Change your perspective. What are you talking about? I'll show you here just secondly. If you're being persecuted, here's a different perspective. It means you're pleasing God. If people are coming against you because you took a stand for something biblically, you should smile because you're pleasing God. You should smile because biblically defined, you are blessed, highly favored. Kingdom has access to you and you have access to it. You ain't saying nothing here. Got to change your perspective. Okay, so today the Kansas City Chiefs, they're going to put a whopping on the Buffalo Bills. I mean, the Buffalo Bills are going to be licking their wounds by the end of the day. Come on, I need some faith in here. The Buffalo Bills are going to cry home to mama after today. Come on, y'all ain't said nothing. If you a Buffalo Bills fan, I'm so sorry for you, but I'm just sorry we're going to win today. They got to win. They got some faith believers praying for them to win today, right? Go Chiefs. Go. So we're going to believe. So you have an offensive team and you have a defensive team on the football team. The defensive team, which is the Buffalo Bills. Come over here, Ben. Come on real quick, Ben. The Buffalo Bills, he's going to play the defense. Just kind of stand like this. Kind of get into it. So the Buffalo Bills are going to try to resist the offense from getting downfield, right? They're just going to resist the offense. They're going to say, you are not coming this way. You will not advance the ball. You will not pass goal. You will not collect $200. You are going to stay right here, right? And that's what the enemy does to us. When you stand up and say, I'm going for where God has called me to get, you're going to face resistance. Not all resistance is bad. You can't even get muscle mass until you have something resisting what you're pushing. Okay, go sit down, Benjamin. You're too good looking. You'll take all the attention away. And so, so the defenders are pushing against the offense. But you know what? It's the guy that's on the bench that doesn't get the resistance. See, Pastor, what are you talking about? You got to change your perspective. The guy that's on the bench is flirting with the cheerleader. Hey, baby, how you doing, boo? Throwing up popcorn in the air, catching it. Waving at the fans. Hey, guys, how you doing? Look at me. I look the part, but I'm on the bench. And a lot of churchgoers, they're in that comfortable cycle. They're on the bench. I'm not being persecuted. Yeah, but you ain't getting any game time neither. Nobody's resisting me. Yeah, but you're just over there in Comfortableville. Some of us are out here on the front lines, trying to move the ball down the field in the kingdom, trying to put it in the devil's face that we on the winning side. Come on, somebody. So you either a game changer or you a bench warmer. Some of y'all need to come up off the bench and impact the kingdom of hell. Got to change your perspective. Now Chop, he served in the military. He served in the army and had to go overseas, right? And if you sign up for the army, that means you have the potential to go to war. If you're really into serving in the United States service, you don't want to be a paper pusher. Give me an M16. Give me an AR or an AK-47. Put me in a foxhole somewhere. Let me shoot at something. Why are y'all looking at me all religious? You know that's what they do, right? So I can't believe he said that. What do you think they do in war? They shoot guns. They know that there's an enemy opposing them. They don't call home to mama, somebody's shooting at me, because they're on the front lines. They're facing the resistance, the persecution, because they're not on the bench. Gotta change your perspective. Some of you are facing persecution. You wonder why? It's because you're doing something that's making the devil mad. You ought to smile. You ought to rejoice. My name might be known in hell. I'm getting all this persecution because I took a stand for what's right. I took a stand for absolute truth. I took a stand for morality, and the devil thought he won. But not today, devil. Not today, devil. Watch Ephesians 6. Is this all right today? Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 12 and 13 says this, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. If that's all you knew from that scripture, that would be great. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Some of you are trying to fight people, but what you need to understand is there's a spirit behind that person. Some of you are trying to war against that person, talk about them, run their mouth about them, but it ain't that person. There's a devil that's being loosed. There's a demon behind what you think is wrong, and you got to expose it. Our war is not against flesh and blood, but against devils that work in principalities of the air, that speak to your ears, that clog your mind to get you to believe a lie and be damned, is what Paul says. But I just came to encourage you today, get off the bench out of Comfortableville, get into the game. Let's push this thing. Let's believe God that a city can be won. Let's believe God that independence will come in to the kingdom. Let's believe God that every stripper, every drug addict, every drug lord, every dope fiend will come and get delivered by the power of an almighty God. Look at your neighbor and say, you ain't called to be no bitch, Wama. Help us, Jesus. Got to change your perspective. You got to change your perspective. You got to change it. Well, why are all these people making fun of me? Because I took a stand for Jesus. Well, what would you expect them to do? Come on, what'd you expect your family to say to you when you told them, you can't go there no more, you can't do that no more, you can't drink that no more, you can't smoke that no more, you can't sex that no more? What'd you expect them to say to you? Did you expect them to embrace your change? Did you expect them to embrace your righteousness? Did you expect them to embrace you taking a stand for Jesus? They ain't going to embrace it, baby. They're going to persecute you. You know why? Because if they persecuted him for it, they're going to persecute you for it. But you're going to stand and say, listen, I got to change my perspective. If God was persecuted and I'm being persecuted for standing up for God, better to please him than to please you. Got to change your perspective. You ever wore glasses before? Y'all are blurry right now. But when I put my glasses on, y'all are beautiful now. I see the crispness in your face. Some of you are walking through life like this. Why is everybody always picking on me? How come everybody comes against me? I go to this church and they don't like me. My family don't like me. My dog stupid left. How come nobody loves me? Because you need to change your perspective. 2020, the year of vision. Number three. Look, you got to change your perspective, guys. Look at persecution. Number three, persecution allows you to be a partner with Jesus. How many want to roll with Jesus? The rest of you will pray for you after service. How many want to roll with Jesus? Partners you with Jesus. Look at 1 Peter 4 and verse 12 and 13. Instead, when you're being persecuted, don't sulk about it. Instead, be very glad. Now I have a problem with that portion of scripture. Here are people who are being martyred and murdered because they're serving Jesus. And Peter has this brainiac idea. Hey, guys, be glad. Be glad that you're going to be burned to death. Be glad that Nero's going to put you in a cage with wild animals and they're going to eat you to death. Be glad. I'm like, Peter, what was you smoking, brah? Stop lying and you would have said the same thing. If Peter was talking to you and your mama just got burned, he's like, hey, be glad. Oh, be glad. Just celebrate. Celebrate Jesus, celebrate. He has risen. You'd be like, man, we're about to fight in the parking lot, yo. I'm about to lay this preaching microphone down and I'm about to go outside and, you know, we're going to fight after church. Be glad. I mean, could you agree? I mean, when somebody comes against you, you don't get glad. You get mad. You get all emotional. Your stomach starts churning. It feels like they put sand in your tummy. Why are you looking at me funny? You get all discouraged and you boo-hoo and you cry and you pick up the phone to start a prayer chain, but really it's gossip. All right. I'm just so hurt. I'm so offended. That's all of us, right? And here's Peter got the audacity to say, no. Be glad. Be glad. Who got the devil speaking to me? Be glad. Why? For these trials make you a partner with Jesus. Whew. In his suffering. Boy, we don't like to talk about that in church. I'm a word of faith guy, Seth. I believe, blab it and grab it, name it and claim it. I believe it. I believe your decree matters. I believe that what you decree will be established in this earth. I'm a decreeing person. I believe in faith. I believe you ask it and you believe God, he's going to supersede your mind and imagination according to the power that worketh in you. I believe in faith. But in this world, you're going to suffer. I don't believe that. Then you don't believe the Bible. But in your suffering, be glad. That's so funny. I find that amusing because that suffering partners you with Jesus. Do you drink to fit in? Are you going to suffer for what's right? Do you smoke to fit in? Are you going to say no and suffer? Do you cower at the moral issues at hand at work? Are you going to stand up and suffer? Come on, somebody. Do you take the path? Are you like water and fluid? Do you take the path of least resistance? Are you going to make a stand for Jesus? Do you dodge opposition, avoid conflict, aim to please people, laugh at the racist jokes? Or do you stand up and say, that's wrong? Our country's in enough division as it is. And suffer. Because if you do, you will suffer. Do you laugh at the sex jokes around the water cooler as that Delilah eye batting thing looks at you and pops her eyes at you? Or do you stand up for what's right and say, no, I'm married. And I don't appreciate this conversation. Because if you do, you will suffer. So, Pastor, what do I do then when I'm suffering the persecution and I'm in an emotional mess because of the repercussions? I hate the repercussions, don't you? Come on, talk to me. I mean, you don't preach like I preach and not have repercussions. It's almost a weekly thing. When I was younger, it would like burn me. I'd stay in bed, seriously, like three, ask my wife, I'd be depressed. I'd have to take Tylenol PM. I'd be in bed for 3 days because of the repercussions. Now I'm like, whatever. I'm like, that's how they want to be. That's how they want to be. They want to act like they're three. They're going to act like they're three. But I'm going to stand up for what's right and keep preaching the gospel. That's what I'm going to do right here in this pulpit. I'm not backing up. I ain't a coward. My spine is strong. I got a backbone. I ain't dying up in here. The devil is a liar. You say, well, Pastor, what if they leave? Then I'll go get 10 more drug addicts, get them delivered, filled with the Holy Ghost, and keep building the church of God for His glory. You ain't saying nothing, but it's true. What do I do, God? What do I do when I'm suffering the repercussions? Here's point number four. Make this principle your priority when you're being persecuted. Do what's right. Trust God with the results. Boy, it's easier said than done. Do what's right. Trust God with the results. Because the ultimate fact of the matter is we will all stand before God like you're really going to be judged. Like He's the ultimate judge. His wrath was poured out on Jesus, but you will be judged in this earth. You're going to be judged when you stand before God for what you did and did not do. Well, I don't know what that looks like, but I'm trying to please His. I'm trying to please Him. Because in the retrospect of things, it ain't worth eternity to cower to people and not stand up for what's right. There is a real heaven and a real hell. You will stand before an almighty God. I know in our, in a day, listen, I'm going to look right in the camera because I don't want y'all to think I'm talking to you, which I am talking to you. But in a day in which we live, everybody's offended about everything. I'm offended about the color of the carpet. I'm offended about the sound system. I'm offended because it's a blue light. Why has it got a blue light? What is this Kmart? I thought Kmart closed. Why we got to have a blue light in the church? Why is the wall painted black? What is this, an occult? I mean, we hear every dumb comment like that that comes through our ears. Those are dumb comments, by the way. I don't like these chairs. Well, they were given to us. I mean, if you want to go replace them, man, we will let you replace them. Why we got to have pagan trees in the church? Why got to make a pagan comment like that? Why can't you just get on board and run with us? We ain't worshiping the tree. God made the tree. You know what I mean? You smoked the tree before you got saved. Why can't we have the tree up in the church? Why don't you get up off your offering and take up out your tree and give some of that paper in the offering plate? Wish you'd stop being a tree hugger and give some of that tree to the house of God. Well, Pastor, you can't talk about this because you offend somebody. Man, I'm going to offend somebody every time I preach. I can't help it. Come on, somebody. I, as a pastor, get offended at disgruntled church people that can't submit to authority. That's what I get offended about. Why can't we just have 1 week where somebody's not offended at something? Just 1 week. It'd be really nice. Because we have to take it home and talk about it at our dinner table. Have to process it. Why can't we just all get along? You're killing me, Smalls. We are the world. We are the children. We are the ones to make a better place. So let's start giving. There's a choice we're making. We're saving our own lives. It's true, we make a better world, just you and I think. Because we are the, take it up, we are the world. Guys, Jesus said, the world will know you're my disciples on how you love each other. If Chop and Elder have a disagreement, and now they sit at opposite ends of the church because now they're mad and offended at each other. I can't believe he did that to me. You're not looking like Jesus. Work the thing out. Be mature. Come on, somebody. Hello? This ain't the UFC. I'm not Dana White. We got to come together. We got to work through all that stuff. Come on, somebody. We're going to get offended at each other. My wife offends me sometimes. I don't divorce her. Why do church folk divorce the place God placed them? Because they get offended about something silly. Then you call them on the phone 500 times. They won't answer your phone call. You got to chase them down to try to work it out because they're too stubborn, too bitter. But I'm offended. Well, we get offended. But we process it different. Here, make this your principle. Do what is right. Trust God with the results. All that I just said was for somebody. Don't get on the prayer chain and say, I think he was talking about me. And if you're answering the prayer chain, you're just as guilty. 1 Peter 4:19. So if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep doing what's right. Boy, I think Peter's a comedian. Trust your lives to God who created you. He will never fail you. Boy, isn't this hard to live out, though? Come on, be honest. It's hard to live out. It really is sometimes. But we must do what's right, trust God with the results. I'm done. Seth, you can help me out, buddy. I feel them weighing. They're weighing in the spirit. They're just heavy in their spirit. So when I was in Bible college, I worked at this department store, and I was witnessing to this certain young man, and another guy that was with me was in the Bible college. He got me the job there. He was actually one of the assistant managers. And we were ministering to this guy who had a real promiscuous lifestyle, and he wasn't sure about us. And so we just kept loving on him and showing about Jesus. I said, man, why don't you come to church with us? He said, man, I can't come to church with you. I'm like, yes, you can. You can sit right by us. Come on. We actually, my friend Mark picked him up. We came to church. He actually, Pastor Parsons was preaching. He answered the altar call and got radically saved. Radically saved. We go back to the department store, and one of the main managers there was from a denomination that was a mainstream denomination that believes, and once you're saved, you're always saved. Like, you can basically say, Lord, come into my heart, amen, praise God, and then you can live any old way you want to and still make heaven. Of course, and that's not the Bible. You know that's not the Bible. Judas had the authority to cast out demons, but he backslid and never came back and killed himself outside of a hill. And there's no record of him ever coming back and repenting to Jesus. Huh? Demas, Paul said, have left me because he fell in love with the present world. Mark him, is what the Bible said. Alexander the metal worker caused Paul problems after he received what Paul said, caused him problems, and Paul said had nothing to do with him. That's pretty heavy. So it's just some biblical references for you. And so he came and he gave his life to Jesus, and we're standing around the counter back in the break room area, and this mainstream denomination, she said, hey, listen, you don't have to. You can just do whatever you want to. God accepts everything you're doing. He loves you. Don't worry about it. I grabbed my Bible because we were back in the, you know, back in Bible college. It was like, this was like our good luck charm. I mean, it was like our teddy bear. We had it everywhere. We even slept on the word. I mean, we stood on it. I mean, it was just like, you know, it was an extension. Now we have it on our apps. Sometimes I wish we would go back to this, but so I had it with me. I said, ma'am, I said, listen, if you believe that trash, there's a trash can, but I threw it on the floor. I said, you might as well take this Bible and throw it in the trash. Either God is true or what you're saying is true, but they contradict each other. Either God wants us walking in freedom and liberty and wait till we get married to have sex, or what you're saying is the truth, and that's two things I cannot say agree. They fired me. They fired me. 3 months left in Bible college. I tried to get a job, but I was very honest. I said, hey, listen, I'm going to be quitting in 3 months because I'm going back home to work in a church there. Nobody would hire me. I had rent due. I ran out of deodorant. I had a Donald Trump hairdo back then because I had lots of hair. And so I had hair products, which I don't need no more because, see, you know, going this way is so much cheaper. I didn't have hair. Nothing. So I went to church Sunday morning, and I gave my last $2 in that offering. And I went home from there and I said, God, I believe you're going to do exceeding, I was quoting Ephesians, exceedingly and abundantly above all I can ask or think, according to the power that's at work within us. My rent's due. I don't have groceries. I don't have deodorant, but I'm going to praise you anyhow. I went home and I turned the blinds down really low, laid all my bills out on the floor, put on some gospel praise music and danced all over that mess, praising God and thanking him for something coming to me supernatural. I laid down for a few minutes. I went in the shower, took a shower, was coming out of the shower, and I heard a knock on the door. And I went to the door and I opened up the door. There were bags of groceries and a thing of Diet Coke there and a card. I didn't know who it was from. I opened up the card and it's all it said was, unto him who's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all I could ask or think, according to the power that has work in you. And I said, well, praise be to God, you're a miracle worker. I go to church that night, 6 o'clock. p.m. at night, and there's thousands of people, 5,000 or 6,000 of people at World Harvest Church there in the tabernacle, and Harold Woodson was preaching. He was preaching about something. I didn't know what he was preaching about. I wasn't listening. And so he was preaching because all my mind was consumed with is my rent's due tomorrow. What in the world's going to happen, God? I can't get a job. I don't have any money. My rent's due. He was preaching. I mean, he was preaching himself up into a sweat, and he stopped, and he said, there's a young man here. You're in Bible college. You don't have any money. You were persecuted. You were fired, and you need deodorant. And God's going to bless you. Stand to your feet. I said, Lord, how are you going to tell these whole people? I don't have no deodorant on. Jesus? Ain't nobody got time for that. Jesus? He said, stand up. I'm like having this internal conversation. Holy Spirit said, he said to me, if you don't stand up, you're going to miss a supernatural blessing. I said, but that wasn't funny. You didn't have to say deodorant, Lord. But you are a good, good father. So I stood up. He said, sir, is that you? I said, yes, sir. He goes, raise your hands. I said, I didn't want to do this because I was afraid. You know, I was like. And he said, all those that are around him, I want you to start putting cash in his hand. Money. I left that place, Justin. I had enough money to pay for 3 months worth of rent. What are you trying to tell me, preacher? Well, I'm trying to tell you persecution is inevitable. Got to change your perspective. Persecution makes you a partner with Jesus. Apply this principle. Do what is right. Here it is. And trust God with the results. Now, here's the real kicker. Pastor, I don't know how to deal with all the repercussions, though. How do I deal with them? I'm going to give you some hope. Here it is. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 through 7. God opposes the proud. Hear the scripture. I'm right. God opposes the proud. We all have to be open to say, hey, maybe I'm wrong in this. Come on, somebody. Right? God opposes the proud, but gives grace to what? The humble. I don't do everything right. I know I don't, and I don't know everything. I don't have all the answers. That's why I have mentors and pastors over me that correct me and bring me into alignment. Because I know I can't be a lone ranger because I'll get in all kinds of mess. And you can't either. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up and in honor. Watch. Give all your worries and cares to God. Now, look this word up, give, and it's the word that means, in a fishing terminology, to cast away. Now, I got this here, and all of us, how many has been fishing? All of us, some of us, not all, okay. So when you fish, you take a fishing pole, and you zing, cast it in the water. If you're facing persecution today because you took a stance for what was right and you were right about it, you don't have to be wrong about being right. You can do it in mercy and grace and love. Come on now. And you're being persecuted for it. How do I get through the repercussions? Give it to him. Cast it on him. Throw it into the water. Throw it into his heart and he'll strengthen you. One more scripture. Come on. Grab this. Thank you. Give it up for these, my beautiful wife. Did I put 1 Peter 5:11 back there? Pastor Gregor, is it up there? Man, you're awesome. 1 Peter 5:11. So after you have suffered a little while, the rest of the scripture says this. I didn't put it up there. He will restore you, support you, strengthen you, and will place you on a firm foundation, all power to him forever. Here's what happens. I'm going to go all the way back to the beginning of my message. If you will live radical for Jesus, you will be persecuted. But if you apply these 4 points I gave to you today, and you trust him with the results, and you take your stand in love with people. You don't have to be an arrogant jerk about it. Come on, somebody. If you make a stand for Jesus, cast all your cares on him, he will supernaturally strengthen you. Your faith will be enlarged. Your faith will be encouraged, and you'll live for Jesus the best way you know how. Amen. Stand to your feet with me.